praise the Lord. If you seek life from any other source except Jesus, you're going to be horribly disappointed. Amen. He is the source of all life. Praise God. Would you turn in your scripture to John chapter 1? You may have noticed, of course it was 2 weeks ago, Brother Blue ministered last Sunday morning, but you may have noticed that at the end of my message I just said, I'm done. And that was because I realized we wasn't going to get through John chapter 1. I wanted the series to end before the tribulation ended. Figure that out theologically. And so I was trying to cover some ground, and I realized it wasn't going to happen. And so this morning, we're going to look at the ending of John chapter 1, pointing out Jesus, part 2. That was part 1. It was only intended to be one part, but it's become two parts. And I took that on the great wisdom of my wife. She says, sometimes can't you just cut it in half? And so this is part 2. I don't like doing that with pie, and I don't like doing it with messages, but I guess sometimes you have to. I'm only going to read just a portion of the verses this morning. This is a story. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, I'm going to read about 3 verses. Jesus saith unto them, these 2 disciples that John the Baptist had pointed out that Jesus was the Lamb of God, Jesus saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the 2 which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Can you hear the excitement? We have found the Messiah. How? By the way, that means they must have been looking for him. Hallelujah. So pointing out Jesus, part 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, quicken our hearts. We're born again. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit within our hearts would bear witness of the truth. Lord, that we'd leave this place just feeling new spiritual life. Lord, I pray for those right now that have found it hard to concentrate in this service, things upon heart and mind and troubles and difficulties and sicknesses. Lord, I pray that they would just latch on to what you're trying to say in this morning and leave here invigorated by the Word of God. Lord, help me to speak with an anointing that goes beyond anything that might have been prepared. It's just your voice speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I don't know when these came into vogue. I just remember it seems like it was back in the early 80s. But do you remember the t-shirts that would start with I'm with? I think the first one was I'm with stupid, and it had this arrow. You want to make sure you walk on the right side of that guy. And then you'd have one, I'm with her, and then I'm with him. Remember these? Now, first of all, I don't think if you're a genuine Christian, you need a t-shirt to declare that. You know, I'm always a little suspicious of someone's experience if they have to have a t-shirt that says, I'm a great Christian. Right? Or even, I'm a Christian. But I wonder, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if our lives, not our t-shirt, but if our lives says, I'm with him, and the arrow points right at Jesus. Not the t-shirt. Our lives point at Jesus and say, I'm with him. Amen. Point out simply means to direct somebody's gaze and or attention towards something, especially using your finger. That's what it means to point out. To point out Jesus is to direct someone's gaze or attention to Jesus Christ using the finger of your words, using the finger of your life. I truly believe If a person has been genuinely born again, I mean, they're really saved. I believe with that being saved, they feel a compelling to go to other folks and point Jesus out to those who don't know them. Amen. If you're a genuine Christian, you may see a messed up teenager, and there's something in your heart that says, I would like to point Jesus out to them. Amen. You may be out in the grocery store and see a young mother, amen, that seems distressed. If you're a genuine Christian, there's something in your heart that says, I'd like to point Jesus out to them. It may be a co-worker. You can tell by their demeanor that they're depressed and discouraged. Amen. If you're a genuine Christian, there ought to be a compulsion from deep within that says, they're in trouble. I would like to point Jesus out to them. Amen. That should be our lives and our living. We covered the first part of the chapter in John the Baptist in public pointed Jesus out as the Lamb of God to the crowd, but not just in public to the crowd, but to two individual disciples of his. He was still in public, but he was witnessing to them the next day. And he said to those two, there's Jesus, there's the Lamb of God. And they followed him. Amen. And those two disciples coming up to Jesus, and this is where our story begins today. Amen. Jesus turned around and saw them following, and they said to him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted Master or teacher, where dwellest thou? Where are you spending the night? But with that, those two disciples declared Jesus the rabbi, the teacher. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus then says to them, and by the way, this is just a little bit of review here that seems an odd question. Why did they ask Jesus where he was spending the night? That was their first acquaintance with him, their first introduction. And here they're asking him, first thing, they ask him, where are you spending the night? Two things in that question. Number one, they were saying, amen, we've just met you, but we're going to follow you. We're in this for good, and when night comes, we're still going to be with you. But the other part of it, they were requesting alone time with Jesus. They're on the streets, and a crowd is gathered around, but Lord, where are you dwelling? When it comes evening, and you go into the house, amen, we want to go in the house with you. We got some questions. We want to spend some time. Amen. It's there that our story today begins. What did Jesus say to them? Verse 39. He said, come and see. Where do you dwell? Come and see. From the very first of Jesus' ministry, this has been the invitation to seeking people. Come and see. Don't just hear about me. Don't just read about me. Amen. But come and experience for yourself who I am. I want you to know that invitation has never stopped. Even this morning, the invitation isn't just don't know about the Lord, but oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and see. Jesus said to them, I'm so glad I can preach this morning, that whoever you are, wherever you have found yourself today, the invitation is come and experience Jesus for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, one of these two that spent the evening with Jesus, we are told, amen, went on to share that news with his family. And with this, we move to pointing Jesus out in private. John the Baptist, the two disciples, in public pointed him out. But now we're going to see that those new believers, those first believers, pointed him out in private. First of all, those who experienced Jesus pointed him out to their family. Amen. Could you say that with me? To their family. Amen. They pointed Jesus out to their family. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Here's Andrew. He's so full of excitement from his encounter with Jesus that the first thing he thought is, my brother's got to know about this. And breathlessly he comes and finds Simon and he says, we have found him. We have found him. We have found him. We have found the Messiah. Amen. Amen. He comes in like he has found a life-changing treasure. As I read these words this week, I immediately thought of what Jesus said the kingdom of heaven was like. In Matthew 13, he said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. You see, when he found it, for joy, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you really find him, there's going to be a joy. There's going to be a joy. That's what Andrew experienced. I found him. I feel a joy. Now my brother's got to know about this. I'm going to go find my brother Simon. We have found the Messiah. Hallelujah. Yes, Andrew had found Jesus. But really, 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 amen, it was Jesus that came seeking Andrew and not Andrew that came seeking Jesus. Jesus had come all the way from heaven. Jesus had positioned himself at that place in the Holy Land. Jesus had walked down Andrew's road so John could say, there he is. Yes, Andrew shouting, I have found him. But we know the reality. It was Jesus who came seeking for Andrew. He came seeking that which was lost. Amen. Amen. It's like hiding Easter eggs for a toddler. You always hide them where they can find them. Hallelujah. You may be seeking Jesus, but he's put himself at a position in your life where you can find him. You shall seek for me and you shall find me when you seek for me with all your heart. Amen. We still use that expression today to speak of life-changing salvation. You don't hear it as much. Used to hear it a lot. But somebody got saved and we said, he found God. Amen. She found God. That teenager found God. We have found him. He, Andrew, who had found the Lord, went to find his brother. Amen. I want you to know, when one has come and seen, he will want to go and tell. Jesus said, come and see. Andrew came and saw, and then he wanted to go and to tell. I don't believe it's changed. If you've really come and you've really seen, you will want to go. And you will want to tell. And the first ones you'll want to tell are your family. Where's my brother? I've got to tell him. Amen. If you have found Jesus, you will desire to point him out to the family members in your life. Amen. I keep hearing as I'm repeating Andrew's words, I have found him. I keep hearing an old hymn you may not have ever heard. I've only heard it out in Pennsylvania, eastern Pennsylvania. But they used to sing, hallelujah, I have found him who my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies the longing, and by his grace I'm saved. I found him who my soul so long has craved. When Andrew got to Simon, amen, he pointed Jesus out to his brother as the Messiah. Do you realize what's happening? I was going to wait to the end, but do you realize what's happening? In just a few short verses, a few events, we've already got all these titles of Jesus. John the Baptist says he's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. The two disciples said he's the Rabbi. And now we've got a fourth title. Andrew said to Simon, his brother, he pointed Jesus out and says, that's the Messiah. I want to just briefly consider what the Messiah was to Andrew and Simon and God's people of that day. The Messiah, that's the Hebrew, was the long looked for deliverer. I'm reading extensive history of Jerusalem right now from the very beginning up to our time. It's interesting. Jerusalem, the city of peace, it's never known peace. It's always been conquered and reconquered and fought over and refought over. And the people were under the bondage of Rome, had been under bondage for many years. They're looking for the deliverer. But who was this Messiah? Even the Old Testament tells us that the Messiah was the ultimate prophet. He was the ultimate king from David's dynasty, and he was the ultimate priest, the ultimate prophet, the ultimate king, the ultimate priest. The Messiah was the prophet who would give them God's word. The Messiah was the king who would deliver them. And the Messiah was the priest who would bring his people to God and make things right between God and his people. The Messiah was all three in one. He was prophet, king, and priest. And now Andrew says to his brother, we have found the ultimate prophet, priest, king, the Messiah. I know who he is. I have seen him. I know his name. Amen. If we could go to the verse 41. Amen. Andrew does something else for his brother and for us. Messiah is the Hebrew. He gives us now the Greek. He translates Messiah into Greek. He said the Messiah that we have found is Christ. Christos. He's Christ. That said something to them. What did it say? Well, Christ simply means the anointed one. They understood that. You read the Old Testament. You understood that. When God picked a prophet, he had oil poured on that prophet to anoint him, to say, he is the one that is picked. He is the one that I have qualified. He is the one that I have enabled to be the prophet. When God selected a priest, he poured oil on him. He anointed him to say, you are the priest. I've chosen you, and I'll equip you to be the priest. When you came to a king, even they poured oil on them. They anointed them to say, God has chosen you to be king. God has equipped you to be king. It was in that anointing oil. Hallelujah. Forever in Scripture, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. What had just happened when John baptized Jesus? The Holy Spirit came from heaven like a dove and descended upon Jesus. What was that? That was the anointing of Jesus of Nazareth saying, I have anointed him. This time I've done something I haven't ever done. I've anointed one person to be all three. I'm anointing him the king, not a king. I've anointed him the prophet, not a prophet. I've anointed him the priest, the high priest, not just a priest. This Jesus, as proved by my anointing of the Holy Spirit, is the prophet, priest, and king. And why has he come? The Messiah comes to set his people free. Oh, to deliver those, hallelujah, from their bondages, to open the prison doors, to bind up the broken heart. That's all in the word Messiah. Verse 42. He not only told Peter that, he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld his brother Simon, he saith, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Let's stop there for a moment. I want you to notice that Andrew was not just content to point out Jesus to his brother. He wanted his brother to come in contact with Jesus. And so he brought his brother to Jesus. See, we believers, we not only want to point Jesus out to people, we want to bring people to Jesus. Because we realize at some point it's not just enough to tell them what Jesus has done for us. We realize that they're going to have to experience this themselves. Andrew told Peter, pointed Jesus out as a Messiah. Then he brought his brother to Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, here's the wonderful thing. Amen. If you bring him to Jesus, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen in their lives. What happened here? Jesus immediately began to deal with Andrew's brother Simon. Look at this. Jesus immediately begins to speak to Andrew's brother. I want to challenge us, believers. If we will bring them to Jesus, he will deal with them. Isn't that wonderful? If we will bring them to Jesus, he will deal with them. He began to deal with Simon Peter. What did he do? How did he deal with him? First of all, he told this brother of Andrew's, I know who you are right now. Look, Andrew brought him, but he hadn't made the introductions. Nobody whispered in Jesus' ear, this is Simon. But as soon as Simon walked up, Jesus says, you're Simon. He knew who he was. No cell phone. He didn't get a text. Amen. Simon wasn't wearing a name tag on his fisherman uniform. That was Jesus being the Messiah. He said, I know who you are. I want you to know we got to know that. Like when we came to Christ, when we bring someone to Christ, he already knows them. Why is that important? Because you know, some people don't come to Jesus because they know themselves. They know their faults. They know their sins. They know their troubles. They know the blackness of their heart, and they say, I can't come to Jesus. You got to understand something. You can come to Jesus. He already knows your name. He already knows about those things. He already knows about those sins. He's intimately, as your creator, he's intimately acquainted with you. You're Simon. So he told Simon what he was right then. And then he told Simon, I know your background. He said, you are the son of Jonah. This is important. He didn't just say, I know you're Simon. He said, I know your genealogy. I know your family history. You're the son of Jonah. John, you're the son of Jonah. I know your background. Amen. How many people feel like they can't come to the Lord? They can't be a believer. They can't serve because of their background. Amen. Because of things of their past. But listen, Sister Norvell, Jesus said to Simon, I know your background, and I'm still welcoming you. I know where you're from, and I still got my arms open. But not only did he tell Simon who he was right then, not only did he tell Simon his background, he told Simon something very important that ought to excite us all. He said to Simon, I not only know who you are, I not only know your background, I know what you can be, and with me, what you're going to be. Amen. You are Simon the son of Jonah, but ye shall be called Cephas, a stone. Simon was anything but a stone. But Jesus, at first encounter, said, I already know what I'm going to make out of you. I'm going to make you Cephas, or in Greek, Peter, a stone, a rock, firm. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to bring people to Jesus. He knows them. He knows their past. But Jesus knows what he can make them. Even some in this building, you got to realize that. Listen to the Lord. He knows what he's going to make you. Jesus has already changed his name from Simon to Cephas. That's important. Read the book. Every time God changed a person's name, he moved mightily in their life. Abram, your name's going to be Abraham. Jacob, your name's going to be Israel. Simon, your name's going to be Cephas. That meant God was going to move in their lives and make them something. Hallelujah. When you point someone out to Jesus, or point Jesus out to someone, you're pointing them to someone that can make a complete difference in their life. Amen. Some of our children workers are in here right now. I want you to know something. When you introduce that child to Jesus, you don't know what's going to end up happening. Here's what I mean. Do you think Andrew ever dreamed when he introduced his brother to Jesus that he would change human history? Because this Simon became one of the two greatest preachers ever and leaders of the Christian church and changed human history. That never entered Andrew's mind. He just wanted his brother to find the Lord. But by introducing Simon to Jesus, he changed human history. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, if anything else, may we be re-excited about the power of the gospel. of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Andrew pointed out his brother as a Messiah. It's family. But then we see in private that those who experienced him pointed out Jesus to their friends. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now see, most of the time, Jesus has always used one human to reach another. But never forget, Jesus has come into the flesh. He is a human. And at this point, we see something that is very rare. Jesus reaches out to someone without other human instrumentality. Amen. If we're expecting Jesus to go just knock on someone's door, amen, we need to rethink that, because he rarely, if ever, did that. He always used an Andrew, somebody else. But on this occasion, Jesus, I believe there's a reason, Jesus went looking for Philip. Now, you've got to understand this. This is completely contrary to the custom of that day. In that day, it was the student, it was the follower who went seeking for the teacher. If I heard Brother Marcus Epiphanes was a great teacher, I would want to be taught by him. I'd go looking for him. I'd travel the ground. I'd try to find him. I want to be your student. That's the way it was. The student, the follower, sought out the teacher, but not with Jesus. The teacher sought out the follower. Hallelujah. The teacher sought out the student. How many can lift a hand and say, that's what happened to me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's still seeking people out. Amen. Amen. Now, Philip, verse 44, was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Not the city when they were adults fishing in the Sea of Galilee. That's Capernaum. But this was where Andrew and Peter were born and raised as children. That's important. Why? Because Andrew and Peter no doubt knew who Philip was. Amen. Philip was one of their friends. I said this time Jesus did the reaching. Why? I believe Jesus was showing Andrew and Peter that some of the people most likely to receive the gospel are, I've got a loose hair and it's not mine. Oh, it's a thread. I knew it was too long to come off of my head. Wow. I go into spasms over unattached hair. So I was saying something very important. Does anyone know what it was? Jesus knew that friends are the most likely to respond, not strangers, to what you have to tell them about Jesus. So Peter went to one of Andrew and or Jesus went to one of Andrew and Peter's friends and invited him to follow him, to say to Andrew and Simon, you need to reach your friends. You need to reach your friends. Amen. And that's what happened. Amen. You need to reach those in the world around you. Amen. I had no intention to mention this. I will not go into the details. But I remember when this got a hold of me as a newly prayed through high school junior. I began to reach out to my friends. And I was surprised how many of them would come to church with me from public school, Wicked Life. How many would come to church with me and would go to the altar. Amen. Because it's friends who will hear you and listen to you. Amen. Let's see what happens. Philip pointed out Jesus as the promised one. How did that happen? Amen. Well, Philip had a friend named Nathanael. Here it is in verse 45. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, oh, here's the language again. We have found him. Seems like that was a testimony. Can you imagine a testimony service at church during that time? Amen. This person over here jumps up and says, I have found him. And the person over here jumps up and says, I have found him. And the person over here jumps up and says, I have found him. Oh, they were excited. Hallelujah. They were excited about Jesus. And so Philip, he goes and finds Nathanael and says, I have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. He was so excited about Jesus, Philip felt compelled to tell his friend Nathanael. It's here that we need to pause and really consider something. Most of us have many friends in our lives. Please hear me. The question is, do we point our friends to Jesus, or do we point our friends with our life away from Jesus? We'll do one of the two. We'll either point our friends to Jesus, or we'll point them away from Jesus. Philip pointed his friend Nathanael to Jesus and said, he's the one that Moses wrote about. He's the one that Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel wrote about. And to identify this promised one, he said, he's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Here's the consternation. The promised one, the Messiah, has a very common name, Jesus, and he lives in a very, very unlikely place, Nazareth, and he's the adopted son of a man with a very common trade, carpenter. I mean, the promised one is this commoner. He's just one of us. He's just a commoner. Amen. Amen. And so in verse 46, when Nathanael listened to that, he said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael listens excitedly. By the way, for you Bible scholars, this is Bartholomew. Bartholomew just means son of the mule. And this was actually Bartholomew's name was actually Nathanael. And Nathanael listens with excitement up to this point. You found him? You found the one Moses wrote about? You found the one the prophets wrote about? He listens up to that point. But the moment Philip says, it's Jesus of Nazareth, prejudice kicked in. Nathanael quit listening. He said, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a city of a bad reputation. Nazareth was a town that was a backwater place. It was unpleasant. Nobody wanted to live in Nazareth. And now Philip has said, the Messiah comes from Nazareth. Listen, first of all, I want you to know, I live in Trotwood. Before I give you this illustration, I live in Trotwood. But here's what Nathanael heard. He did not hear Jesus of Oakwood. He heard Jesus of Trotwood. And he said, can any good thing come out of Trotwood? And we all know there's places of town that have where rich folk live and they got more funds and all that. And we know all that. He listened up to that point. Not Jesus of Oakwood, Jesus of Trotwood. And he said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? I want you to know, it's this simple. Whenever Jesus is involved, something good can come out of the most unlikely, wicked, poorest places. Amen. Why? Because he makes a difference. Amen. Don't you ever snub your nose at an area of town and say, people there can't be saved. Maybe we ought to do ministry in Oakwood instead of Drexel. Amen. Or instead of Trotwood or instead of wherever. Amen. Don't ever say that. Can anything good happen there? Can anything? I want you to know something good happens there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our song leader this morning is a testimony that when Jesus is involved, hallelujah, out of darkness he brings light. What a prejudice. Verse 47. And Jesus saw. Oh, wait, I missed something very important. Can you think good come out of Nazareth? And what did Philip say? Come and see. There it is again. I'm starting to get the idea that ought to be our invitation. Why do you worship the way you do? Come and see. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Come and see. Why did you devote a week of vacation to Camp Duff? Come and see. Why do you folks shout? Come and see. It's not our program. Hallelujah. It's not our, the goodness and greatness of our musicians, though we got some. It's not how wonderful our choir sing, though it does. Come and see, because Jesus, he can change your life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not just preaching about a historical figure where I have to say, know this. I'm preaching about the living Christ, whom I can say, come and see. Come be introduced to him. Come know him for yourself. Amen. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, just like he did with Simon, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now that really caught Nathanael off guard. He's never met Jesus. Jesus never met him. Philip has come straight from Jesus, a distance to Nathanael. They don't have cell phones where Philip can call ahead and say, Jesus, I'm bringing a man called Nathanael to you, and he's a good man. Amen. There's no contact. There's been no smoke signals. And coming that distance, Philip's got his arm around Nathanael. And as soon as Nathanael walks into the presence of Jesus, Jesus says, I know you. You're that Israelite that has no guile. And on top of that, amen, Nathanael saith unto him, how do you know me? We've never met. We've never been introduced. How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. That it happens the day or some time past, Nathanael had got under the fig tree. Why did you go under the fig tree for? To meditate or to pray. Amen. And Jesus saying, Nathanael, I knew you had no guile. I know you. And to prove it to you, remember the other day when you wanted to get alone and you went out under the fig tree. Amen. Nathanael, I saw you there. You never met me, Lord. You weren't even around. Oh, but I know you, Nathanael. And I know that you were under that fig tree. It may not be a fig tree. It may be a hard rock. It may be a mountain over the top of you. But can I tell you this morning, Jesus is saying, I knew you. I know you when you're under the load. I know you when you're under the sickness. I know you when you're under the distress. I know all about you. I want you to know that convinced Nathanael, because Jesus knew something about him that no other human could have known under those circumstances. People hesitate coming to Jesus because they know what they are and think he will reject them. But Jesus was just straight off, like he did with Simon. He said, I already know you. Nathanael then knows how when one is introduced to Jesus, he begins to point out Jesus. Did the family, did the friends. Nathanael points Jesus out as the king of Israel. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Three titles, bam, bam. We've already had the first two given. But just like that, he meant, I'm just briefly, Rabbi, teacher. Let me tell you this. You do not come to Jesus for a good feeling. That may be a good feeling, but you don't come to Jesus for a good feeling. You come to be taught. He's the teacher. He's the teacher. I know what it is. I've had students. I've had parishioners that thought that, and I'm not saying I can't learn. That's not my point. You understand that. But they thought they were here. I had one tell me just recently, I'm here to tell you how things should be done. That wasn't Nathanael's attitude. You don't come to Jesus for a good feeling. You come to be taught. And I want to be real honest, Church of God. Amen. Sometimes some folks haven't been listening to his lessons because they're sure not getting what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? If you do, you wouldn't have that attitude if you've been listening to his lessons. Amen. You wouldn't have that desire, that intent. Oh, I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing when afresh and anew, you can come to Jesus and say, I'm here to be taught by you. Deeper, yet I pray. Deeper in thy precious. He called him the Son of God. When Jesus told him what he could not have known as a human, Nathanael realized he was more than just a mere human. So he called him the Son of God. And then he called him the King. You see, he pointed Jesus out to the king because when you come to Jesus, you don't come to negotiate the terms of your coming to him. When you become a follower of Jesus, you don't sit down and negotiate what you're going to give him, what you're not going to give him, how you're going to follow him. No. When you come to Jesus, you come to him as the king. The king sets the perimeters. The king sets the terms. So many of Christendom have missed this. Jesus is not a servant who has come to do our bidding. We went through that a few decades back. Tell Jesus what to do. Tell Jesus to give you a new car. Tell Jesus to give you a new house. You command it and he's got to do it. Jesus didn't come to do what we want him to do. Jesus came to be our king. And it's only when I recognize that Jesus is king that I get it. Amen. He wants to occupy that position in my life. He wants to be king of my life. Amen. That's the only real way to point out Jesus and for them to see it. He is the king. Verse 50. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. I mean, Nathanael's already got his mouth wide open. Wow. And Jesus said, you believe just because I told you where you were a day or two ago? You haven't begun to see what you're going to see. What's he saying? And the word was made flesh and we beheld his glory. Jesus came in the flesh to show us his glory. And right now, they're just beginning through the cracks of his humanity. They're just now beginning to get some peeps at his glory. And when he told Nathanael where Nathanael had seen just a peak of his glory. But Jesus said, I've only begun to show you my followers. In other words, Jesus was just saying, there's more to come. There's more to come. I'd like to tell you, you may have been following Jesus for 70 years or 7 minutes, but as wonderful as salvation was, as life-changing as salvation was, if you follow Jesus, there is more to come. Amen. Some of you have given up on that. You said, this is all there is. I've hit this place. I've hit this wall. I'm in this rut. This is all there is. But I want you to think back to the day that he saved you and then hear his voice. I've got more for you to see. Come and see. You've only begun to see. Amen. And then he says something very interesting. And in doing so, he points himself out as the Son of God. Verse 51. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon, here's the last title, the Son of Man. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to think about it while I tell you something. What was the very first thing that came to your mind when I read the words of Jesus to Nathanael? You shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Hold that thought. I want you to know something very subtle. We may have to do this several times in John. Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, Nathanael, hereafter, how many knows what happened? We went from you singular to ye plural. This wasn't just a promise to Nathanael. It was a promise to every follower there. Every one of you is going to see the heavens open. Oh, just lets me know what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Now let's go back to my question. What did you immediately think about when Jesus said, you'll see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? Someone just say it out loud. What did you think about? I heard it several places. Jacob's ladder. Out in the wilderness. Jacob there running for his life in a deserted, dangerous place, lies down for the night, and the heavens open, and he has a vision of a ladder that stretches from earth to heaven, and the angels are ascending and descending. You know what Jesus was saying? I have been made flesh. I am the ladder that reaches from heaven to earth. I have come to bring all of heaven down to you and to take all of you back
to heaven. I am the portal between heaven, and I am the place where heaven meets earth. Oh, hallelujah. That's what you find when you find Jesus. You find the one that has brought all of heaven to us and will one day take all of us to heaven. Aren't you glad? He is the ladder. He is the way. He is the door. He is the portal. He is the contact between heaven and earth. And through me, you'll see my glory. Oh, somebody shout glory. Stick around Jesus, you'll see his glory. The last title, Son of Man, I'll briefly mention it. Even that's a term that used to puzzle scholars because it goes both ways. Son of Man. Others called him Son of God. He said, I'm the Son of Man. There is that humility in that. He's saying, I'm of humanity, Son of Man. But it's a double-sided title. Not only is it a title of great humility, I'm just a man. It's a title of great prestige and power. Why? Read in Daniel 7:13, and it has been promised by God that in the last time, he'll send an end-time ruler, an end-time king that will rule this earth with all power and glory. And in Daniel 7:13, we are told that the title of this end time almighty ruler is the Son of Man. And Jesus stood there and said, I am that Son of Man. Hallelujah. He didn't set up that world kingdom then because that was only his first coming. And so they didn't really see him so much as the Son of Man. But we're going to. I said, we're going to. He is that end time ruler. Music, would you come? Amen. So look, please listen. Please listen to these final words. Amen. In the last few days, Jesus was pointed out as the Lamb of God. He's pointed out as the Son of God. He's pointed out as the teacher. He's pointed out as the Messiah. He's pointed out as the promised one. He's pointed out as the King, the Son of Man. But here is the question. Whom do I point him out to be? Whom do you point him out to be with your life and your living? Do you point him out as the great Savior? Do you point him out as the great Deliverer? Do you point him out? That's the one that sanctifies spirit, soul, and body. Do you point him out as the healer? Hallelujah. One thing we're accustomed to today with our electronic devices is the share feature. It looks different ways in different applications. Here's a few. Amen. For you followers, the one on the left is probably the one you see the most. Amen. You see a photo, you read an article, you see a video, you think of somebody. You would like to see that, hear that, read that. You hit the share button, you type in their email or their phone number, or you find them in your list and you share that thing with them. Oh, hallelujah. How many know? I felt that this morning. Somebody, another pastor sent me something. It was really humorous. My first impulse is that I want to send that to Brother Brian. Amen. And I said, no, I won't do that on a Sunday morning. It's too funny for Sunday morning. So I didn't send it to him. But my first desire was to share that with somebody. Oh, hallelujah. This is modern day. Amen. There ought to be that in our makeup. We ought to be so excited about Jesus. Amen. That we want to hear the share button of our life and say, may my life show those in my world that Jesus is King and that he's the Lord. Do you point Jesus out? Here's the thing as I close. If you don't know Jesus, you can't point him out. And if you're not thrilled about Jesus, you won't point him out. I said, if you don't know Jesus, you can't point him out. If you're not thrilled about Jesus, amen, you won't point him out. Amen. I preached this morning, and I pray we feel, as I feel, an encouragement in my heart to point Jesus out to most folks. Here's the thing. You'll encounter folks this week. They may sit across from you at the restaurant, but you can tell something's disturbing that family. family. Oh, I want to point Jesus out to them. It may be a friend that you young people know. Amen. Amen. Somebody in your neighborhood. Amen. Sister Norvell's already made the rounds in her own neighborhood, new neighborhood, and seen if everybody goes to church, knows the Lord, but something in your heart says, I want to point him out. I want to tell you, follow that inclination. You say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to witness. Just tell them what you have found Jesus to be. I have found him, the one that took away my sins. I have found him that satisfied my deepest longing. And when you get through telling them, give them the invitation. Come and see. Now, I've preached that, but as you stand, amen, I just want to practice it right now. And if you're here this morning, you're here and you need to be saved, I want to point to Jesus as the Savior. If you're here this morning and you're under, please hear me, you're under a heavy burden, I'd like to point to Jesus as the burden bearer. If you're here this morning and you're afflicted with darkness of discouragement and depression in your mind, I want to point you to the light. There he is. There he is. If you feel all alone, I'd like to point you to the one that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. If you feel bound up, I'd like to point you to the deliverer. If you're without hope, I'd like to point you to the hope. If you're without healing, I'd like to point you to the healer, the great physician. Oh, hallelujah. Can we lift our hearts and point at him and worship him? Amen. I know you know who he is, but declare it out loud. You're the Son of God. You're the Son of Man. You're the Lamb of God. You're the Rabbi. You're the Messiah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. First of all, this morning you need Jesus in a special way. Would you come right now? Amen. You'll find him to be what you need him to be. Would you come right now? Jesus, I need you. I've got to have you. Hallelujah. I heard someone praying this morning, Lord, I've got to have you. You need Jesus in a special way. Would you come right now? Hallelujah. Have you found him wonderful? Have you found him great? Amen. I'm not saying you haven't and you don't. But if you're here this morning and you feel a greater desire to point Jesus out to those of your world, would you come and find a place to pray and say, oh God, give me and show me the opportunity and help me with my life, with my words, with my testimony, with my witness. Help me to point to Jesus. Would you come and fill these altars if that's your desire? Oh, hallelujah. Maybe it will get real practical. Maybe you will want to share him by hitting the share button. Amen. Amen on your device. But more importantly, share him with your life. Share him with your lips. Share him with your testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you could have seen me before the
Savior, point him out with your prayers.
Then I know that you would understand.
I don't know him.
All the change that's happened.
I can't point him out.
Since I met the Master,
if I'm not thrilled about
it, touch me with the tender, I won't point him out.
God help me.
And in that moment, brand new life began. Only he could take.